Welcome to the Watoto Church Podcast. Prepare your heart as we explore scripture and delve into the Word of God.
So, Heavenly Father, we recognize that this is such a sacred moment. As we open your Word, you are going to speak to us. I believe this can be a destiny-shaping Word. And so I pray, as we open up our hearts and our minds, build us up according to your word, releasing us to be the church of the Lord Jesus that is going to lead the transformation, the healing, the rebuilding of cities and nations for your glory. Let the church say amen in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen. I think what Pastor Julius said is absolutely critical. As we go forward in this mission that God has given to us to bring healing to the cities and the nations, God is building up His church. The church does not exist for anything else other than God's mission. We are on assignment. And there is an urgency in our hearts that we sense in this season. God is calling us to arise, and He's empowering us by His Spirit to rebuild cities and nations. But it's not just cities and nations. Behind every broken wall is a broken life, is a broken family. It is people. God is wanting to rebuild people's lives so that His glory will be seen as the waters cover the sea. And last week we started out in this new series, Empowered to Rebuild, in Nehemiah chapter 1. And we'll be walking through the book of Nehemiah. And I tell you what, Nehemiah was an ordinary man just like you and I, at his station faithfully serving, when God disrupted the course of his life and used him to lead a work of rebuilding. What God did through Nehemiah, God can do through you. And last week we understood from Nehemiah chapter 1 that if we are going to participate in God's redemptive work of rebuilding broken lives, broken communities, cities and nations, we must carry God's heart. God's heart is a heart of compassion. It is a heart of mercy. His heart is moved when he sees the brokenness, when he sees broken lives, broken families, when he sees broken cities and nations, his heart is moved. We must carry God's heart. Nehemiah heard about the broken walls of Jerusalem, and his heart was moved. He felt what God felt. He got down on his knees, he repented. Say, God, we have failed you. Have mercy on us. But he didn't only do that. He not only saw the brokenness, he felt the burden, he prayed, and then made himself available. But here's what I want you to know. A burden is not the destination. It is not just enough to carry a burden in your heart. God wants us to move from a place of burden to the place of actually rebuilding broken lives, cities, and nations. You see, a God-given burden is meant to move us towards the work of rebuilding. And I pray today as you hear God's word, that your heart will be stirred to get on with the work of rebuilding. So I want us to go to Nehemiah chapter 2 right now in our Bible. And really today what I sense God wants to say to us is this. That the hand of God is upon us to take the burden that is in our hearts and translate it into an active work of rebuilding for the glory of God. Nehemiah chapter 2 takes us on this journey from burden to rebuilding. And I want us to start at verse 8 in Nehemiah chapter 2. And in Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 8, Nehemiah says, the gracious hand of God was upon me. That is a statement of conviction that helps us explain Nehemiah's confidence to lead this rebuilding work. How does a man who is a cupbearer in a palace become a rebuilder of broken walls? It is because he knew that the gracious hand of God was on him. Watoto Church, the gracious hand of God is upon you to do the work of rebuilding broken walls. But when you read the whole narrative of Nehemiah, you understand that actually it's not about what Nehemiah accomplished, but what God did through a man that was willing and available. May we be willing and available to be used by God in our day, so that God, through his church, will rebuild the cities and the nations for his glory. There are five things that we're going to take away today. And as we walk through the story, God is going to teach us five things that you and I must not just hear, but begin to practice as we get on with the work of rebuilding. And the first thing is this: God always empowers his work. Do you know that rebuilding what is broken is not our work, it is God's work that he does through us. God often calls us by placing a burden in our hearts, and then he empowers us by his Spirit to do what he has called us to do. Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 7 to 9, we'll read, and then verse 11 to 12 and 17 to 18. Nehemiah, after the king asked him what he needed for this work, say to him, if it pleases the king, may I have letters to the governors of Trans-Euphrates so that they will provide me safe conduct until I arrive in Judah. And may I have a letter to Asaph, keeper of the royal park, so he will give me timber to make beams for the gates of the citadel by the temple and for the city wall for the residence I will occupy. And because the gracious hand of my God was on me, guess what? The king granted my request. Shall we give God praise right there? So, Nehemiah says, I went to the governors of Trans-Euphrates and gave them the king's letters. The king had also sent army officers and cavalry with me. Verse 11 to 12. I went to Jerusalem. And after staying there 3 days, I set out during the night with a few others. I hadn't told anyone what God had put in my heart to do for Jerusalem. There were no mounts with me except the one I was riding on. Verse 17 to 18, then I said to them, you see the trouble we are in? Jerusalem lies in ruins and its gates have been burned with fire. Come. Let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem and we will no longer be in disgrace. I also told them about the gracious hand of my God on me and what the king had said to me. God always empowers his work. He not only calls us, but he empowers us. He provides what is necessary for us to get on with the work of rebuilding broken communities for his glory. And I love what Nehemiah does here. He recognizes God's hand. He recognizes God's role in this. He acknowledges God's involvement. In verse 8, he said, the gracious hand of my God was on me. In verse 12, he says, God had put something in his heart to do for Jerusalem. And in verse 18, he acknowledges again, he says, the gracious hand of God was upon me. So the burden that Nehemiah carried in his heart was not just his personal ambition. God had moved him. God had stirred something in his heart. God had put that desire in his heart to see the broken walls of Jerusalem rebuilt. Can I say that that thing that moves you, that thing that breaks your heart, that is not just you being emotional, that is God stirring you up. It was a period of 4 months. The visitation happened. And the ask before the king. Something God was doing in Nehemiah's heart. Something was stirring. God was moving Nehemiah. Urgency was building. It was time to rebuild the broken walls. And so how did God empower this work? I love it. The first thing God did is that he moved the king's heart. He turned the king's heart. You see, what we read in Nehemiah chapter 2 and Nehemiah chapter 1 is that story where he makes a request and it is granted. But when you go back to Ezra chapter 4 and verse 21, the work of rebuilding had begun. And some people took a message back to the king and say to him, if you allow this work of rebuilding to continue, these people are going to become mighty and strong and they're going to rebel against you. The people in Jerusalem have a long history of rebelling against kings. They don't pay taxes. And so the king became anxious and said, this work of rebuilding must stop. How is it that in Ezra chapter 4, that work had to stop? And yet in Nehemiah chapter 2, we see the work being granted access and passage and support. What happened? It was the gracious hand of God that turned the king's heart. Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 1, the king's heart is a stream of water in the hand of the Lord. He turns it wherever he will. God begins to make provision for his work by ensuring that the powers of the day would get behind what he wanted to do. God begins to give us favor when we step out. Remember, when you step out, God is backing you up because you're his man and woman on mission, and he will provide whatever is necessary for you, including favor and open doors so that his work of rebuilding may begin. I remember the story of the Watoto Children's Choir as they stepped out for their very first time to go and tell the story of what God was doing as he was rebuilding broken lives here in Uganda through Watoto Child Care Ministries. And so a choir was put together. But as a ministry, we didn't have the extra funds to send a choir at that time, although God had laid it on the hearts of our founders to put together a choir. Go tell the story. Share the story of God's love and how it's rescuing broken lives. Invite people into vision. And so Marilyn, Pastor Gary's wife, went to British Airways and she made a bold ask, just like Nehemiah. She asked that the choir would be given tickets on credit. Now who does that? And guess what? Because the gracious hand of God was on Watoto Church, those tickets were granted on credit. My prayer is that as you step out, in your family, at your place of work, in your secondary school, in your university, and in your community, I pray that by the Spirit of the living God, his favor will be upon you and you'll be granted access so that God's work of rebuilding will happen in our generation, in Jesus' name. God turned the heart of the king. May God give you favor before the leaders. God not only turned the heart of the king, God secured provision. Nehemiah received the time he needed, letters for safe passage, and the timber he needed. Why? Because the gracious hand of God was on him. Let me tell you something. I believe that God is going to arise and is going to provide what we need as Watoto Church in the space and the places that he's called us to champion a work of rebuilding broken lives and communities for the glory of God. And he will resource his work. We will stand and be amazed and say, look what the Lord has done. God always empowers his work. He will provide in Jesus' name. The second thing we learn is this, that prayer turns burden into a plan. Let's go to Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 48. The king asked Nehemiah, what is it you want? Then I prayed to the God of heaven and I answered the king. I think that is absolutely important and the order of it. I prayed to the God of heaven and I answered the king. He said, if it pleases the king and if your servant has found favor in his sight, let him send me to the city in Judah where my ancestors are buried so that I can rebuild it. Then the king with the queen sitting beside him asked me, how long will your journey take and when will you get back? It pleased the king to send me, so I set a time And I also say to him, if it pleases the king, may I have letters to the governors of the Trans-Euphrates so that they will provide me safe conduct until I arrive in Judah. And may I have a letter to Asaph, keeper of the royal park, so that he'll give me timber to make beams for the gates of the citadel by the temple and for the city wall and for the residents I will occupy. And because the gracious hand of my God was on me, the king granted my requests. Prayer moves the burden to a plan. Nehemiah's burden didn't just remain a prayer request. Prayer, because of a burden stirring in his heart, moved him towards a plan. He began to think through what was needed prayerfully. He began to think through what will this assignment require. If we're going to rebuild the broken walls of Jerusalem, what are we going to need? And God provided a window of opportunity with the king. Never underestimate the significance of a moment. Because a moment well lived will make all the difference. And when the moment showed up, he not only had prayed, he also had a plan. So he made specific requests for a specific time frame. He asked for letters of safe passage, timber for rebuilding. He was not only granted that, he was given more. He was given Calvary. He was given more than he asked. You see, friends, here's what I want you to know. Prayer demonstrates our dependence on God. Planning demonstrates diligence in responding to God's burden. We must pray, but we must plan. Some people demonize planning, but you know what the Bible says? Commit your plans to the Lord. So you must have plans. Plans are a sign of faith. You want to see with God's eyes. You're saying, God, open my eyes to see. Download into my heart so that I can see what you have for my community. Those teenagers that are stuck on drugs, those ladies that are prostitutes in our community, the crime that is ravaging our community, open my eyes to see what must be done. And God in eternity sends you ideas in time so that you begin to see. And as we prayerfully depend on God, and as we prayerfully plan, responding to the burden of brokenness in our communities, our families, God is going to move in ways that exceed any expectation we've ever had. You see, prayer without planning can become passivity. Planning without prayer can become presumption. So don't just say, God, would you raise somebody? God wants to walk through you. You are God's man. You are God's woman. You're on assignment in that community, in that organization, at that university to be the healing champion. You see, a burden becomes a rebuilding assignment when prayer is followed by obedience. Silence is not just something you're praying about. God now begins to raise the urgency. The burden. It is time for us to move. God called us to respond to the crisis that was happening in Gulu, northern Uganda, after many years of war. Ravaged the community. Broken the people. And as the leadership, our total church at the time, began to pray, they began to say, God, show us. Show us. I'm telling you, there were plans to plant a life-giving church. There were plans to respond to the crisis on the ground and the things that we'd been reading. Saying, Lord, we sense you're calling us. Show us what we must do. What we see in Gulu 18 years later is a consequence of a burden in the hearts of our leadership at that time. That was soaked in prayer, that became a plan, and God is so faithful that he began to make that plan come to life. 18 years later, we can say, look what the Lord has done. I pray in the name of Jesus that you begin to sit and consider what must happen. How do we bring an end to divorce in our family? How do we get our teenagers off drugs? How do we ensure that our marriages are healthy? How do we ensure that our community is safe? That we begin to plan and to think. And the Bible says that as you write down that plan, God is going to give it life. And the one who sees it will not only catch it, they will run with it. And at an appointed time, God's work of healing will begin to become fruitful in Jesus' name. The third thing that we learn is this, that a God-given burden moves us towards brokenness. Did you know that it's not just enough to pray, and it's not just enough to have a plan, but that you must move towards the brokenness? Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 11 to 15. Nehemiah says, I went to Jerusalem, and after staying there 3 days, I set out during the night with a few others that I hadn't told anyone what my God had put in my heart to do for Jerusalem. There were no mounts with me except the one I was riding on. By night, I went out through the valley gate towards the Jericho wall and the dung gate, examining the walls of Jerusalem, which had been broken down, and its gates, which had been destroyed by fire. Then I moved on towards the fountain gate and the king's pool. But there was not enough room for my mount to get through, so I went up the valley by night, examining the wall. And finally, I turned back and re-entered through the valley gate. Nehemiah arrives in Jerusalem. But before he announces his plans and what God had placed in his heart, he goes out in the night and he begins to inspect the walls. Why? Because you cannot actively rebuild what you have never taken time to understand. Nehemiah didn't rebuild based on assumptions. He inspected the walls. In the night, he walked the grounds and he saw firsthand the brokenness. Yes, he had been visited in Susa with a message, but now he walked the grounds. He saw the brokenness. He felt what God felt. He felt the pain of the people, because behind every broken wall are broken people. The ambitions had been broken. Their security had been compromised. Their future was on the line. He's walking the grounds and he's feeling what the people are feeling. And he walks up the valley and down into the valley and up the mountain, and he's feeling something happens when you begin to inspect the walls and walk the ground. Something happens when you walk around your community and you begin to speak to that neighborhood mom and say, tell me your story, what is really going on? When you sit with your community leaders and you say, help me, Mr. Chairman. Share with us what is going on in our community. When you sit with those teenagers who are on drugs and you give them a meal and you serve them some nice Rolexes and some sodas there, and then you begin to ask them, share with me, how did you get here? And suddenly it's not just a prayer request. There is a name. There's a face. There's a story. You begin to feel what God feels for those people. The burden in your heart, the urgency even grows stronger. You see, as leaders, as God's people who have been planted, we need to do what Nehemiah did. We cannot continue to rally people around assumptions we've made concerning the brokenness in our community. We must take time to understand what's really happening. See, if God has burdened you about something, here's what you need to do. Draw near. Listen. Listen to the people. Don't make assumptions. Talk to them. Look them straight in the eye. Learn. Inspect the rubble. Because rebuilding requires that you draw near. Nehemiah left the comfort of the palace he was serving in, and he went to broken Jerusalem. Let me tell you something, Watoto Church. We cannot heal what is broken from a distance. You cannot stay behind that high fence and that beautiful apartment that you're in and think that you're going to participate in the rebuilding of that broken neighborhood mother's life. You can't just pray it away. You must get out of your comfort zone and walk the community. Talk to the people. Walk around your community as a cell family and pray. Say, God, open our eyes. Connect us to some people we need to talk to so we can feel the gravity of what's truly going on. That's what happened. In Gulu, our founders went up to Gulu. Marilyn went up. Pastor Julius was leading the team that was going to eventually plan the church and get a lot of this work going. And they went to the internally displaced camps. And they began to speak to the people. There were those who were returning from captivity by the rebels. They were coming back to the community. They didn't have a place to belong. They talked to them and they said, what is it like? What were you experiencing? They began to speak to the community leaders and they said, guys, please don't bring us any blankets and sweets. We want to build our community. We want to make this land livable again. They talked to the neighborhood mothers and suddenly God in his grace began to mobilize the resources. Suddenly, a church very far from Uganda putting together their own version of their miracle offering, resources to bring God's kingdom. God spoke to them and said, I want you to give $1 million to Watoto Church. Guess what? $1 million was the cost of the work that we needed for Gulu. God is so faithful. God began to bring friends who were doing work with trauma rehabilitation, facial reconstructive surgery. Meetings began to happen in the community where those who were angry against one another were sharing their stories and were forgiving one another. And then we planted Watoto Church in Gulu. Pastors Joes and Jackie Ogwal went out there, planted a life-giving church. That church is still thriving today. We got a property to do the work of baby Watoto. We had a center where we could do neighborhood work. We began to reach the schools. God began to open the floodgates so that the work could happen. A prayerful burden, a burden soaked in prayer. Suddenly God began to open doors and the work of rebuilding began. It's 18 years of that rebuilding work. And all we can say is not to us, but to your name, God, be the glory because of the things that he has done. You know the reason God has you at Watoto Church? It's not just so you can hear this story, so that you can believe that God can do it through you. We can't just continue clapping at the stories of what happened 18 years ago. God is up to something now. And so we need to arise. The time is now. Let's recapture the burden. Let's go out. Let's arise and let's be the hands and feet of Jesus to bring healing in our day for the glory of his name. You know what? God is not asking us to do something he hasn't done. We were in our sin. The Bible says in Ephesians 2 that we were lost and dead in our sin. But God sent his son Jesus who took on flesh and he came and he died to break sin's power. He rose from the dead to demonstrate to us that God loves us and God wants to rescue us out of darkness. Bring us into his light so that we can go out and bring healing. See, friends, you are the salt of the earth. God wants to use you to push back the decay in the community. You are the light of the world. God wants to use you to push back darkness. And the time is now. Let us arise. The fourth thing we learn is this. A God-given burden becomes a shared burden. In verse 17 to 18, I love this. Nehemiah said to the people, you see the trouble we are in? Jerusalem lies in ruins and its gates have been burned with fire. Come, let us rebuild the walls of Jerusalem and we'll no longer be in disgrace. And then he also told them about the gracious hand of God that was on him. And here was the reply of the people. Let us start rebuilding. And the Bible says, so they began this good work. Do you notice Nehemiah's language? He's not saying the trouble you are in. It's the trouble we are in. See, God wants to move us from being spectators to owners. God wants to cause us to arise so that we will actively engage with his work of rebuilding. Help me turn to neighbor and tell them, arise. See, it's not just what the community is going through. You are part of the community. I am part of the community. It is what we are going on. It's what we are going through. See, friends, that crime affects you. That drug abuse affects you. The prostitution affects you. Corruption in this nation affects all of us. Injustice touches all of us. And therefore, when we look at Uganda, when we look at our families, when we look at our communities, say, this is the trouble we are in. And I love the fact that Nehemiah didn't just share the problem. He shared a vision. He shared a vision of what is possible. He shared a vision of what God wants to do. You see, God is raising up us up, every single one of us at Watoto Church, to rise up and share vision from God's perspective so that eyes would be opened. So that people could believe once again in what God wants to do. You know, God is not done with Uganda. God is not done with your community. God is not done with your family. Your university hasn't been written off. Your school has not been written off. God has sent you and planted you so that he will give you a burden and he will give you a plan and a vision that when you share with conviction, eyes will be open and people will begin to see what is possible when we step out in Jesus' name. And when he shared the vision, people said, let's start the work of rebuilding. They couldn't wait. For the very first time, there was hope in their hearts. We can do this. The Bible says they began the good work of rebuilding. Here's what I want you to know. That because God's gracious hand is on us, listen friends, God wants to strengthen our hands for the good work. I want you to know that there is help from heaven. I want you to know that there is strength from heaven. When you step out in the power of the Holy Spirit, watch and see what God is going to do. Nehemiah shared a vision. It was no longer what God wanted him to do. It's what God wanted them to do together. And I remember as a teenager, coming to Watoto Church, I sat upstairs. 18th December 1998, I gave my life to Jesus. I was 14. And I remember what began to happen in my heart. Every time I came to the service, and every time the pastors preached, every time Pastor Gary shared the burden that was on his heart for Uganda and Africa, it's as if God was transmitting that burden into my heart along with the congregation at that time. And I know that is what is happening right now. Supernaturally, God is stirring our hearts once again to say, Watoto Church, it is time. The work of rebuilding must go on in the power of the Holy Spirit, not by power, not by mind, but by the Spirit of the living God. And it got translated into my heart. Friends, the reason I'm here preaching as if I'm a man on fire is because I really believe God wants to do a work of rebuilding. I believe it with all of my heart. I pray that God will give you a burden and a vision. That when you start in your organization and you say, here's how we're going to address this issue, resources shall not be wasted anymore. I pray God will give you that vision. When you share it, the whole organization will come behind you and say, let us begin this work of rebuilding. I pray that when you mobilize the community and you speak to the leaders and say, guys, we want to raise the flow. People are struggling in poverty. What are we going to do so that we can release a generation from the stronghold of poverty and see godly transformational leaders raised who are going to rebuild cities and nations? I pray when you share with conviction and that vision comes through, I pray that there'll be a yes in the hearts of your people. God will give you the right people. Because you cannot heal a city alone. We cannot heal a nation and a continent alone. But God has already demonstrated his faithfulness by bringing good friends. And guess what? The best days of our rebuilding story are not behind us. They are ahead of us in Jesus' name. God will make it happen. Finally, A thing we learn from Nehemiah chapter 2 is this. A God-given burden will face opposition. Verse 19 to 20. But when Sanballat the Horonite, Tobiah the Ammonite official, and Geshem the Arab heard about it, they mocked and ridiculed us. What is this you are doing? They asked. Are you rebelling against the king? I love Nehemiah's answer. He answered them by saying, the God of heaven will give us success. Will you give God praise? That is conviction right there. That is conviction right there. Shall we say together on the count of three, 3, 2, 1, the God of heaven will give us success. In other words, vision will come to pass. The work of rebuilding will flourish. And he said to them, we, his servants, will start rebuilding. And he looks at them and he says, but as for you, you have no share in Jerusalem or any claim or historic right to it. In other words, devil, get out of my way. The time has come and the work of rebuilding will start in Jesus' name. You know, when you step out to do God's work of rebuilding, opposition shows up. But I thank God that Nehemiah didn't put confidence in what he could do. His confidence was in what God can do. He didn't deny the opposition as some people do. Oh, there are no enemies in Jesus' name. Let me tell you, there is a real enemy. And he's called Satan. And let me tell you, he raises up all kinds of opposition. Opposition can come through people. Opposition can come through new policies. But let me tell you something. It is not the people we are battling. The Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. We are engaged in a kingdom work that is a very spiritual work. You see, rebuilding is not just rebuilding. It is taking ground for the kingdom of God. And we are taking ground against a real kingdom of darkness. But greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. If God is for us, who can be against us? And you know where our example and our confidence comes from? Jesus. The Bible says, Hebrews 12:3, consider him who endured such opposition from sinners so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. So my brother, my sister, when opposition comes, do not lose heart. When opposition comes, don't abandon the burden. When opposition comes, don't stop building. See, the question is not whose hand is on you. Question is, are you going to step out in conviction, knowing the gracious hand of God is on you and that there is success awaiting your diligence on the other side? I'm so thankful that we are on the winning side. We are on the winning side. We are on the winning side. Oh, I see a Uganda and an Africa that is rebuilt. I see a Uganda and Africa that is prospering for the glory of God. I see a generation arising to take their place and champion the rebuilding of a continent for the glory of God. I see God doing a work and the gates of hell shall not prevail. If you believe it, shout amen in Jesus' name. So as we begin to land the plane, what God-given burden have you prayed about but never planned for? What has God been putting on your heart? What steps are you sensing the Lord laying on your heart? Don't just pray about it. Pray and plan. Have you drawn near enough to the brokenness that is weighing heavy on your heart? Have you inspected the walls? Have you talked to the people? Have you sat with them? Have you felt what God feels? We cannot rebuild what we refuse to see up close. Because what God wants to put in your heart, He wants to accomplish through a community He's going to bring around you. So would we take a moment right now and respond to God's word? Would you just bow your head and close your eyes for a moment? Is there a burden that God laid on your heart? Something of an area that is broken in your family, in your community, at your place of work, your university? You're burdened by something that's just broken. It doesn't reflect God's best for you and the people around you. Ask God, God, stir my heart again. Stir my heart again. Open my eyes to see. Lord, begin to give me some plans. Begin to bring people around me. Raise us up as a team. Give me a compelling vision to share. Spirit of God, do it. Maybe you're in this place and you've gotten so used to the brokenness that it no longer burdens you. Would you ask Holy Spirit, begin to stir my heart again? I don't want to become cold-hearted. I want my heart to remain tender. I want to be broken for the things that break your heart. Ask Him, Lord, stir my heart again. I can't get used to divorce and drug abuse and alcoholism and children born out of wedlock and crime in my community and corruption at work. Lord, stir my heart again. Ask Him. Ask Him, because you are His servant. Say, God, stir our hearts again. Oh, Holy Spirit, I pray that in this moment, everyone here in person, online and on air, I pray that there'll be a fresh wind that sweeps across, stirring up our hearts again as a church with compassion, with mercy, with love. Oh God, do it again. Make our hearts tender. Break our hearts, God. Sometimes we've believed a lie that we are not enough, that we don't have what it takes, that we are outnumbered. I rebuke every lie from the devil in Jesus' name. Every limiting belief that we have come into covenant with, I rebuke and I ask, Lord, that you break it and shake it off of us in Jesus' name. We are the church of the Lord Jesus, a movement on assignment, Spirit-led and Spirit-empowered to do a work of healing. Do it again, Lord. Do it again, Lord. I pray that our hearts will be captivated once again. And in the power of the Holy Spirit, may the work of rebuilding begin through every cell family, through every member at Watoto, because in the last days, by your Spirit, you will do it through the old and the young. Awesome God, do it again in the power of your Spirit. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I want you to know that God loves you so much. I want you to know that God loves you so much. And sin destroys the relationship with God and every human being. Sin robs us of a relationship with God, and it destroys our lives. And maybe as I say this right now, you recognize that because your life feels like broken walls. I don't know what it is that has messed up your life. Choices you have made, things that people did or said about you that led you down a path of destruction. I don't know what it is. But there is sin in your life and a distance between you and God. And God today is saying to you, I want to break the power of sin over your life. I want to set you free. I want to rebuild your life again because I love you. God wants to save you today. Would you surrender your life to His Son, Jesus? All your sin will be forgiven. And by His Spirit, He's going to rebuild your life into a beautiful story and a testimony of God's love and grace. With every head bowed, every eye closed, you say, Brian, that's me. I need Jesus to forgive me of my sin. I want Him to save me and rebuild my life. Would you lift up your hand here in person, no one looking around? Would you lift up your hand? You say, that's me, Jesus. Save me. Change me. Rebuild my life. Lift up your hand. Don't be afraid and don't be ashamed. God loves you. God loves you. And He wants to save you today. Would you lift your hand wherever you are? Would you lift your hand? Thank you. Thank you. Jesus sees those hands. Thank you. Upstairs, downstairs in the overflow. Would you lift your hands? You're joining us online. You say, Jesus, would you save me? Lift your hand. Reach out to Him. Say, Lord, save me. Wash my sin away. Rebuild my broken life. Make me new again. Lift up your hand. Lift up your hand right now. Lift an emoji of a hand in the comment section right now. On air, in that room where you are, joining us on television or Power FM on radio. In that room where you are, Jesus is right there. Lift your hand to Him. Or maybe you're here today and you're saying, I want to recommit my life to Jesus. Lift your hand. Lift your hand to Jesus. Recommit. Come back to Jesus. Start afresh. Walk away from that path you're on. You want to recommit your life? Online, an emoji of a hand and type, I recommit my life to Jesus. On air, lift your hand in that room. And now here's what I would like us to do. Shall we pray this prayer together? Watoto Church, let's all pray together with our friends lifting up their hands. We're going to make a personal commitment to Jesus. Let's all pray together. Let's encourage them, everyone, saying, Dear Jesus, thank you for loving me. I recognize that I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. Jesus, you are the only Savior. Today, I am asking you to forgive me of all my sin. Wash me clean in your precious blood. Give me a brand new life. Jesus, I now receive you as my Lord and my Savior. And from this day, I believe that I'm born again, that I'm a child of God. I will live for you and I will follow you for the rest of my life.
Thank you for listening. We hope this encourages you to step into the new. Tune in next time as we delve into the Word of God. For comments and feedback or counseling, write to connect@watotochurch.com. Hey,